Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's start today with our continuing conversations with members of the Massachusetts Congressional Delegation. Congressman Joe Kennedy III represents Massachusetts 4th, and we spoke with him earlier today and began by asking him what he makes of President Obama and what he said yesterday, that the president would not escalate America's military involvement against ISIS in Syria.
I have been saying for a long time now that Congress needs to have a clear articulation of what our role is and is going to be in Syria. We need to have an authorization for use of military force that Congress needs to discuss, debate, set clear goals and guidelines, and understand a time frame and a strategy. And the president came forth and introduced a version for us to discuss here in Congress, and it has never been brought up for discussion once. So I continue to call on leadership here to actually give us the forum to have this discussion so that we understand the role that we're asking our men and women in uniform and their families to play.
When you say leadership, you specifically mean House Speaker Paul Ryan?
Yes, and I called on Speaker Boehner to do this before. If we're going to ask our soldiers to bear the brunt of another conflict in the Middle East, we should be able to understand what mission we're asking them to accomplish and understand the cost that the taxpayer is going to bear, the cost that the families are going to bear, and what we're asking our allies to do. And so I have some real frustrations with the way this has played out here in Washington, D.C.
Who is your frustration really with? I mean, is it with President Obama because he did opt to send some special forces into Syria, even though yesterday he was saying, you know, at the G20 that, in fact, he was saying a lot of along the lines of what you were saying, that he visits soldiers at Walter Reed, some of whom he has sent himself into battle, and that gives him pause about any military escalation. So is your frustration with President Obama because he could, you know, change his mind down the road? Or is it with Congress itself? I mean, I'm not quite clear where the frustration lies.
So I think Congress bears an awful lot of responsibility here, Meghna, because the president did come forth with an authorization, I believe, back in February. It's not the authorization that I, as a member of Congress here, would have wanted to see. That being said, he at least came forth with a plan for Congress to discuss and vet and debate. And we haven't had, I haven't heard of a single hearing on it. I haven't heard of anybody diving down into the details of what does the strategy look like? How do the role of our allies come together in this? Who are our allies? What other countries are willing to make a commitment? And now, obviously, that entire strategy, I think, needs to be thought through again. But we should at least be willing to take a vote. And at this point in the House, the entity that decides what we vote on is leadership, and it's Republican leadership. And their decision not to put any sort of authorization up for discussion, up for debate, or up for us to vote on, I think is terrible.
Well, if I could bring it back to Massachusetts here for just a moment. Yesterday, Governor Charlie Baker joined some, you know, two dozen other governors across the country expressing some pretty serious reservations about allowing Syrian refugees, you know, into Massachusetts and or the other states that governors were representing, because they were concerned about screening processes and potential, you know, security threats that may come along with some of those refugees. And first of all, I guess I'm wondering, do you believe Governor Baker is right to be concerned or not?
I mean, certainly, given what's happened in Beirut and Paris, government's primary responsibility is to protect its people. However, I think we also have to recognize that turning our backs on refugees that are fleeing that very same terror isn't going to be a solution in the short term or the long term either. Right? These are folks that are asking for refuge and seeking refuge, and if we don't give them that opportunity and lock them into a place where they're facing this type of violence on a daily basis, I don't know how that solves our problem in the long run at all.
Yeah. Well, shifting gears here a little bit to something that's, you know, very a domestic issue but is pressing to so many families across Massachusetts. I wanted to talk with you a minute about the opioid addiction crisis. You know, Governor Baker has pushed for a lot of changes in Massachusetts, including a bill that would limit initial prescriptions of opioid painkillers to a 3-day supply. There's also a move to sort of change how medical students are being educated about opioids and, you know, even changes in access to treatment. That's all background to the question I really wanted to ask you, which is I know that you've had a long interest in mental health and mental health care and coverage. I wonder if there's any lessons from the battles that you fought on that front that you think we could apply to dealing with the opioid addiction crisis.
I appreciate you asking, Magnan. It's something that I've been working on since I was actually a prosecutor. The crux of this is trying to make sure we actually flush out a full continuum of care and prevention. If you don't increase the doctors, the beds, the resources, and the continuum of care, you're making it easier to get people into the system that we still do not actually fund so that there's not resources to treat people.
Yeah. Well, let's take another swing over to another completely different area of policy for a minute, if we could, and talk about trade, because, of course, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is on a lot of people's minds. Senator Elizabeth Warren, as you well know, has been quite critical of the TPP, in part because she rightly says no one's been able to really take a close look at it. And also she feels that it's very favorable to corporations over working people. That's Senator Warren's take on it. I guess, first of all, have you had a chance to review a TPP yet?
My office is in the process of reviewing the Trans-Pacific Partnership literally as we speak. It's over 5,500 pages long and over 2 million words. So trying to review proposed legislation or deal that is that long is in and of itself a bit of a challenge. I still have real concerns, I think, in two main areas, Magna. The first, around workers and wages. Two, is around enforcement. It's one thing to make sure that you've got words written on a page that form your laws that are then applied equally to everybody. It is another thing to ensure that enforcement is also equally applied to everybody. So I've got some concerns.
And at 2 million words, that's quite a mountain of policy to read through. You know, I just want to ask you one last question, because it suddenly occurred to me that on my desk right now, there's a new book called The Lion of the Senate. And of course, it's about your uncle, the late Senator Ted Kennedy. And, you know, it's really about his efforts at bipartisanship in a GOP-controlled Congress. And I thought, of course, you know, there have to be lessons for members of Congress today. But then I also thought to myself, I feel like there's a difference here, that back in Senator Kennedy's time, he actually had partners on the other side of the aisle. You know, he very famously had very close friendships with, you know, Senator Orrin Hatch, for example. Are even those kinds of relationships, those partnerships, are they even possible at all today?
Absolutely possible. Look, if you're asking a member of Congress who happens to be in their third year of service here in the minority party of the second least popular Congress of all time, if things are frustrating, the answer is yes. Of course things are frustrating. That being said, Republicans are people too. And if you sit down with them for long enough, you will find something you agree on, right? They might not love the Red Sox, but if they're rooting against the Yankees, that might be something you can take to the bank, right? As I think of my uncle's legacy and what his service in the Senate stood for was, you just keep trying.
You know, I find your positivity really heartening, but I have to say, you sound way more optimistic than the average American feels.
That's probably true. Washington is a frustrating place. Washington was also designed to be a frustrating place. It was not supposed to be a place where legislation would fly through. It was supposed to be hard. It wasn't supposed to be this hard, right? It really wasn't. But I've also gotten to know a number of my Republican colleagues, and they're good and decent folks that are trying to respond to the needs and wishes and desires and concerns of their constituents, just as I am to mine. And so if you start from that base point, that gives you a different vantage point to try to chip away at things. And look, at least let's show the American public that there is some common ground between somebody from Brookline, Massachusetts, and somebody from rural Oklahoma or Texas or the Southwest.
We welcome any demonstration of that common ground at any time.
I appreciate that.
Well, Joe Kennedy represents Massachusetts' 4th District. Congressman Kennedy, it was great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Look forward to it again.